It's Andy Parks live from the Washington Times on 7:30 a.m., 102.9 FM, WTNT, The Truth. And I'm joined now by Washington Times editorial page editor Brett Decker. Hello, Brett.
Hey, Andy. Thank God. Is it Friday? I'm still, my brain and heart are still in California.
The Week in Review happens every Friday afternoon. Yes, indeed, it is Friday, and welcome to the program. How was California, by the way?
You know, it was hard to get on that plane and come back.
I'll betcha.
You know, a week at Stanford, just giving lectures and meeting people. I mean, that's a really nice campus.
Yeah.
And 70 degrees and little breeze. I mean, yeah. It was perfect.
I can see you now, sunglasses on, driving around town, the convertible.
Yeah, Wayfarers on.
Yeah.
You know, how does the Don Henley song go?
Yeah.
Whatever, that was me.
Sure beats Detroit this time of year, doesn't it?
Oh, my gosh. You know, might not be as fun downtown.
Yeah. All right, lots of things to talk about. Let's start with our new front runner for the GOP, Rick Santorum. Latest poll out today shows him not only as the front runner by a point or two, depending on which poll you look at, but also leading in Michigan.
Yeah. You know, Romney, who's from my hometown, he went to high school about a mile away,
mm-hmm.
in the Michigan suburbs. He is such a Michigan guy. I mean, everyone knows he's governor of Massachusetts, but his campaign in 08, he actually announced, he launched his campaign from Michigan, not from Massachusetts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, his father, George Romney, was three-term governor of Michigan.
They liked him there, too.
I mean, the name's really popular.
Yeah.
Ronna Romney is like the ex-wife of one of Mitt's brothers.
Mm-hmm.
She almost became a senator just because she still had her ex-husband's name.
No kidding.
Romney name is really popular there.
Yeah.
You know, the primaries, like everywhere, are very conservative. So that's where Mitt's kind of, moderate, centrist, and sometimes liberal positions don't go very well in the primaries. I mean, the other thing that's dangerous about the Michigan primaries, it's open. And a lot of times you have a bunch of Democrats vote in it just to skew things. So when McCain challenged George W., for example, the Democratic primary is obviously going to be Gore. So a ton of Democrats voted in the Republican primary just to make McCain win, just
mm-hmm.
to throw W off track. So all kinds of mayhem can happen there. I think, you know, the bigger story is just the elephants not being able to get the herd together in one direction. And I think that's dangerous. You need a united front to beat Obama. And the party right now, I think, looks unfocused.
Yeah, that's for sure. All right, 2013 budget, we found about it this week. It doesn't mean anything, though.
I mean, none of the budgets do. I mean, right?
Yeah.
I mean, your home budget might if your wife takes care of it.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, no government budget means anything. Like, they flagrantly spend more than we take in revenue. And two, they don't even stick to the bloated numbers, right? I mean, there's all kinds of escape clauses and ways to throw more fat in there, and it's just we're in so much trouble, and we need to do something about it.
But he goes out on the stump, and he's going to use that as a campaign tool. There's no way it's ever going to be passed, and as you mentioned, it spends more than we take in, and he's out there using parts of it, you know, hammering, you know, America, you know,
yeah.
with the good things in his budget.
I mean, and what I don't get is, you know, all the new spending in it and, you know, sort of record levels of spending again and new debt and all of the tax increases. So not only are there new tax increases in this budget, but if you have like the George W. Bush tax cuts that are going to sunset,
mm-hmm.
you're talking about a heck of a increase in the tax burden overall. And if you want companies and employers to start hiring people again, you need to add certainty in there, not more uncertainty. And all this does is, I mean, it tells people, hold on, who knows what's coming, you better save your money and not invest it or spend it.
Yeah. All right, let's move on to what I perceive as the biggest issue of the year, well, at least according to the Democrats, the whole issue of contraception. Where did that come from? Didn't that start in a debate a few weeks back with George Stephanopoulos throwing a question at Romney? And all of a sudden, that's all we hear now?
I mean, you know, part of it is just, I mean, the government forcing everybody to be uniform and do the same thing in all organizations if you get a penny of money for anything. So, I mean, you know, I think it's a pretty big issue to force, especially if you look at how many Catholic hospitals or, you know, religious hospitals there are who, you know, have religious opposition to this kind of thing. It's like forcing a Catholic hospital to perform an abortion, which is probably obviously next.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think the whole problem is the government is deciding there's no such thing as freedom of conscience or freedom of religion anymore. I think, you know, whether contraception is good or bad isn't really the issue. It's that the government's deciding you can only have one position on it, and I think that's very dangerous.
Yeah. Republicans caved in, at least in my mind, on the payroll tax cut extension. Did they have a choice?
I mean, I'm with you on this one, brother. I think, you know, I think they did have a choice. You know, this thing, what is it, February or March, where the thing...
It allowed them, what, 60 days?
Yeah.
They had to do something by the end of the month or it was going to expire. It was going to cause all kinds of problems for the IRS, at least that's what we're told. But, you know, they didn't stand their ground. You know, they threw away the whole Keystone Pipeline issue. Everything went down the toilet, and now it seems as if they just agreed with the Democrats and, you know.
You know, all the jet setting I've been doing recently out to the left coast and the Midwest and everything, I have not had one person bring this issue up to me. I don't think anybody cares about it as far as the populace goes.
Yeah.
You know, Republicans are trying to say, oh, we'll lose this election if we don't cave or if we don't come to a deal on this.
Yeah.
I haven't heard one person mention it to me as being, you know, an issue they have fire in the belly over.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's a bad sign, I think, for the election, not only that the Republicans can't come together on a presidential candidate, but congressional leadership is throwing in the towel on things that aren't really a big deal.
Yeah.
So what are they going to do on the big issues? It worries me a lot.
Mm-hmm. Chinese VP was in town. I know you probably had a little interest in that.
You know, he didn't meet with me, by the way.
No, he didn't.
No,
he didn't.
No.
But
I told him I'd pick up the tab and everything.
Did you give him a copy of the book?
You know,
bowing to Beijing.
Said that, you know,
Can you imagine walking up to him? Hey, it's autographed here.
That's right.
Might be worth something one day.
That's right. I mean, right now it's worth $5 less if it's signed.
All right. So Obama said that he applied some pressure. We really don't know that, though, do we?
You know, the only people laughing louder than the two of us right now about this are the Chinese leaders,
yeah,
right?
Probably.
I mean, Obama being tough.
Yeah.
I mean, you know those mom jeans he wears. The guy doesn't have a tough bone in his little matchstick body. But, I mean, at the end of the day, the Chinese are laughing because, you know, our economy is hitting the wall. President Obama is cutting our nuclear force down to nothing. He's cutting our troop strength.
Yep.
By hundreds of thousands, you know, even maybe up to a million troops or whatever.
Yeah.
And the Chinese are in this huge military buildup. They're laughing. The idea that this guy is getting tough, I mean, you know, it's not even sandbox tough.
The other day I had this vision of this guy getting in his airplane and leaving Andrews Air Force Base and kind of waving in the air and going, suckers!
Exactly, yeah. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
No, I mean, the Red Dragon's like licking its chops.
No kidding. All right, Hillary, possibility going to the World Bank after the Secretary of State stint?
You know, it doesn't really make any sense to me.
It doesn't to me either.
I don't know if she just wants to be the man somewhere, and be, so to speak, and, you know, be the boss. I don't know. But, to be the Secretary of State of what used to be the most important superpower, maybe it's tough being, like, the diplomatic representative of a country in decline.
Yeah.
You know, but.
So the World Bank would be a step up.
It doesn't make any sense to me. And you look at. You know, Wolfowitz and Zelik, you know, the last two presidents.
Yeah.
I mean, they were, you know, Wolfowitz was like a deputy secretary of state and, you know, Zelik was a trade rep.
Yeah.
So these were huge step ups for those guys to run in the show. But to be U.S. secretary of state, I mean, that's one of the biggest jobs in the world.
Yeah, I know.
I wouldn't really get how it would make a move. You know, I think. If she does make a move, John Kerry is probably in line to take her job at State Department.
Oh,
I think
he'd
be a front runner for that. But I don't see how it makes sense for Hillary.
Yeah.
Unless my thing is she might be saying she wants that to make the White House nervous and put her on the ticket as VP.
Ah.
That's kind of what I'm thinking.
A little chess game.
Because otherwise they'd be losing, really. I mean, she's been a pretty good Secretary of State.
Yeah.
They'd be losing one of their stars.
That's true.
I think she's been impressive in that job.
Yeah,
so it might be just to turn the heat up. And say, hey, you got to dump Biden and put me on the ticket.
That would be interesting.
I mean, that's just my feeling, you know, because the window's closing for her to get one of these things, and you know, if she wants to be vice president, like the time is now. And I think maybe it's just, you know, lighting a match under under Obama's mom jeans.
Yeah. All right. One more thing. Our friend Pat Buchanan out at MSNBC. Surprised by that?
You know, I think it's a pretty scary move in that, you know, having these places. I mean, you've known Pat a long time, and so have I. And he is just a fun, nice, pleasant guy. You know, when Tony Blankley died and everyone was talking about what a gentleman he is and everything. I mean, Pat Buchanan's the same old-fashioned, decent guy, has lots of friends on the other side of the aisle, lots of liberals think he's a great guy. For them to dump someone like that, and one, I think it's, you know, it's an overtly partisan move in that they're doing it in an election year and they're getting rid of their most prominent non-liberal voice on the liberal network.
Yeah.
But I think it's also a direction of where kind of America is heading in that, you know, the left and right can't have a discussion anymore. And, you know, my version of politics has always been, and people think it's crazy. My friends are either really liberal or really conservative.
Yeah.
And my idea is you battle it out and it comes down in the middle. I get kind of bored in the middle myself.
Yeah.
But you have to have the kind of two sides that are very distinct.
Yeah.
Right now we're in this place in this country where the two don't even want to have a discussion anymore.
And, yeah.
And I think that's MSNBC doesn't want the other side on there. Well, if we can't sit and talk, you know, around a table or at the bar, well, how are we going to solve our national problems? And I think, you know, we got to get back to, you know, looking each other in the eye and having these discussions again. But I think we're going in the opposite direction.
Yep. I think you're right. All right, my friend, good to talk to you. We'll do it again next week. You heading back to California or what?
You know, I'm thinking about it. Maybe I'll call in. You know, the time difference has me all messed up. You know, I've asked my boss if I can just work from there.
Yeah. You showed up here 3 hours ago, I know.
Your producer, Ann, said I'm not allowed to do that, but we'll see what Tom McDivitt says.
Okay, good. See you next week. Thanks,
great, Brett. Great to be on.
Brett Decker, the editorial page editor here at the Washington Times.